Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket. Welcome to the Down at Third Man podcast. This is our first ever episode, and you'll be hearing from me, Ash. We've also got Aid with us, who's a first-team bowler who likes to claim he's an all-rounder. And we've also got with us Jono, who's a first-team opening bat. They're the cricketers, really, in this podcast. So, we'd just like to say before we start, a big thanks to Woodstock Cricket, who are going to be supporting us. And we'd also just like to give you a quick run-through of how things are going to work on our pod. So, dead simple, we're going to go through all kinds of cricket, from club cricket all the way up to Test Match cricket. And we're going to, basically every week, trying to cover as much as we can and basically give you our opinions and maybe have a bit of a laugh along the way too. So, first thing we're going to get onto in today's episode is all about the big test series that has just finished, and that was Australia versus India. Now, for anyone who's missed it, I don't know how you have, but the Indians managed to come away with their second series win in Australia in a row, thanks to a 2-1 win. And that all came down to the last day of the last test and a fantastic show from Misbah Pant, as well as good batting from Mahane, Washington Sundar. And it was just a really, really impressive all-round performance from the Indians. However, it was the second game in a row that the Aussies failed to get it done in the fourth innings on the last day. So there's been quite a lot of criticism coming out for the Aussies. So, John O'Aid, what do we think about the Indians to start with? Go over to you, Jono.
Fantastic, isn't it? It's, no one loves Aussie bashing more than the English. I'm thoroughly thrilled. It reminds me a lot of club cricket, mate, to be honest. The batsman blocks shit out of it all morning, and then a bunch of nobodies knock it off by having a slog in the afternoon, accompanied by one batsman. I think it's great, me. I really do. Fair dues to them. I think the Australians are probably the best side in the world when they've got the tails up, but that was pretty meek from them. Pretty poor. Two tests in a row. If I was Indian, I'd be over the moon. So that's a great win. A really, really, really good win.
So they've been brilliant, haven't they? They've had, what, over the full series, they've had about 9 injuries, haven't they? Because even Rohit Sharma was out for 2 of the games, wasn't he? For the last test, you've got a completely different bowling attack. You've got Ashwin, Bumrah. Obviously, Sharma didn't play. Shami. You've got all these young kids that have come in and just done well, haven't they? And to go to the Gabba where they've not lost since, is it 1988?
Yeah, 1988. Have you seen that West Indies
team?
What a team. Viv Richards was still playing.
Viv Richards is king as well.
The king. I just wonder whether it's kind of been the perfect storm. The Australians thought they had him and not played very well, and the Indians just kind of took it as a bit of a, we were 36 all out, bats to the wall, load of young lads, didn't really care. Go on, let's go and give this a go.
Well, is it that, there's one of the lads that's had a young kid, hasn't he? And he literally hasn't seen his kid yet, because they've been in these bubbles since the IPL. So that probably eggs you on a bit, doesn't it? So, you know, not being able to see your young lad or girl, whichever one it is.
That opening bowler's lost his dad as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he'd lost his dad. I think he went straight to the team, didn't he, after the they got back from Australia, didn't they?
I just love how I'm just a big fan of Australians, the ultimate shithouses, getting out-shithoused. It's like, it's almost like a sport in itself. Who can out-shithouse the biggest shithouse there is?
My favourite bit of shithousery, which people are saying isn't shithousery, but definitely was, by the way, was when it came to the presentation at the end of the fourth test. You've got Rahane up, and before he lets him talk to him about anything to do with the cricket, he goes, yeah, Nathan Lyon, 100th test. We just like get him up in front of everyone, get a signed shirt from us boys, a signed shirt by the lads who've just absolutely walloped you and made you look bang average. And he had to walk yards upon you. It was good, like 50-yard walk to come and get it as well. Proper awkward. People were claiming it was a lovely gesture, but I think it was might have been Steve. I know Jimmy Anderson actually on Tail Enders the other day. He was like, "No, if someone had done that to me, I'd have told him you can wait till I'm in the changing room before you're giving me that, lads."
And then you've got Asher in there tagging Tim Payne in that tweet. That was brilliant. Yeah,
not just that. Did you see Ravi Ashwin's wife getting involved and saying the same?
Actually, yeah, wow. Brilliant that was. She got thousands of retweets and stuff, didn't she, on Twitter? Yeah.
They don't help them. This is what happens, though, when you create an image for yourself and then just go completely against that image. Tim Payne has been banging on about being the good guys for 2-3 years now. And don't get me wrong, I loved watching the test. I thought it was a really good watch, but you kind of live and die by that, don't you? So if he comes on and then he gives it all that, and he just couldn't. That, to me, is a man under pressure. That, to me, is a man who, well, I think he is under pressure. I think you'll probably see the Ashes out in the winter. I think that'll probably be in, what is he, 36, something like that?
He's weirdly done well with the bat, actually, hasn't he? Because he's normally known for just his keeping, isn't he? But I think he averaged over 40-odd, I think. Which is probably just behind Smith and Labuschagne, won't he?
All I'll say to you is, he's the test captain of Australia. He keeps wickets and he's never scored a test match 100.
And Ashwin's got four.
Yeah. Would we accept an England keeper who's never scored a test match 100? Probably not, no. Not in these day and age. So I think the good guy Tim Payne, I think his days might be numbered.
Well, interestingly, that was going to be our next talking point, was about Payne as skipper. And now, there's been lots of talk about, obviously, trying to, whether they keep him or not. I personally would take a guess and say he'll obviously do South Africa, because, let's be honest, they ain't going to have the balls to sack him and take either, the two apparent people who could become captain are either Steve Smith, they're never going to let him go back to South Africa as captain. And Pat Cummins.
If you've got to do that, that'll be brilliant.
It'd be good for entertainment, but it's not going to happen. So I think he's obviously definitely got South Africa series, but if he's dodgy with the gloves, which he was throughout the whole of the Indian series, and he doesn't keep up the average of 40 or whatever it was across the Indian series, which, let's be honest, is unlikely, because before the Indian series, he hasn't particularly done much with the bat. He's going to have to be under pressure. But then they haven't really got much cricket till the Ashes, so do you really drop someone in at the deep end? I could see him going with Smith, if I'm honest, for the Ashes.
Yeah.
They're desperate to give it to him, aren't they, again?
They are desperate to give it.
He's not going to be there, is he? He's not going to be at the Ashes. Yeah.
They are absolutely it. I think you can see it in the team. There's only one man that team actually want at the front of them. It's probably Steve Smith.
Mm.
If you had a choice, if you were playing cricket, right, and you had a choice between the best player and probably the best player in the world and Tim Payne, you'd want to follow the best player in the world, wouldn't you? Whether he's a prick or not.
Pat Cummins, don't they? Like Shane Warne and all them. They want him, don't they? I always think it's a bit weird having a bowler as a captain.
Saw it with Ben Stokes, didn't we? Bowlers always want to end up bowling themselves when they shouldn't, and then not bowling themselves when they should.
They're too involved in the game. They've got no time to switch off, have they?
That's the issue.
Like us having Stuart Broad as captain, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Jimmy Anderson, not going to happen. As much as you'd want it to, it's not going to happen. I think Tim Payne will see the Ashes out. I think the Ashes will be his last. Yeah, you can kind of paint the picture now. Australia scrape home against it. Slightly underperforming England, Tim Payne goes out on a high with an Ashes proper win. I think the story's there for him if he wants it, isn't he?
Speaking of the Aussies a bit more in general, what did you actually make of them? Because for me, I think they thought that after the first test they were going to walk it. They got India all out for 36. But the fact was, is in that first test, other than one session where the Indians forgot which end of the bat to hold, India dominated the test. India were the better team the whole way through, and then they forgot how old a bat for 3 hours, and the next thing you know, they've given the game away. And I think the Aussies got it all wrong in that regard. I think they thought they were just going to, Kohli's gone home now, we're just going to walk it, and they weren't ready for, as we've been saying, young lads like Natarajan and Siraj, who've been on the biggest stage in the IPL. They weren't ready for them to actually come out and say, yeah, I'm not scared of Tim Payne calling me a dickhead, basically.
I think they've... we spoke about it the other day, didn't we? Stuart Broad said to win in Australia, big first innings runs, bowl someone out cheap once. And I think the Aussies have kind of like failed by their own blueprints. They've just never quite got enough. They've never quite bowled well enough apart from that one innings. And I think if you have just like a straight shootout between two sides, I don't think they're as good as India. And doesn't mean that I think India were going to win, because over in Australia, I'd expected to just kind of like folded, especially without Kohli. But I think they've obviously just thought, oh, it's just a bit of a slugfest here. They're not really absolutely... I think if Australia would have racked up about 500, 600 at some point, maybe first or second test somewhere along the line, that would have probably broken them then, and that would have been that done. But they kind of never threatened it, really, did they, even?
Mm.
Smith took three tests for him to get going. Labuschagne had... I mean, I know he ended up with 100 and two or three 50s, but didn't he get dropped something like seven times across three games?
Well, did you see how many drop catches there was over the series? There was like 40 overall catches, wasn't there, that were dropped?
Yeah, the fielding and cricket in general has been poor this year, which I think has got, obviously, have something to do with
it's got the
bubble life. But I think that's the thing. You look at the Australian team now, you've got Warner, who ain't in form, and has got one leg.
He's also not been any younger, is he? Because he's got to be 33, 34, hasn't he? So...
Yeah, too busy on TikTok as well.
Which... It's also a nasty, nasty piece of work, I think.
Oh, there was one that you did of Ron Weasley I saw this morning, and that was a shocker.
And then with him, you've got Will Pukowski, who looks great, but can't play more than two games in a row by looks of it, because he's either... And let's be honest, the Ashes, England's tactic's just going to be, right, if he's playing right, Jofra, bounce him. Bounce him and bounce him. And literally try and knock him out, which sounds horrible, but it's what the game do. And I can't blame him for it. And then you're looking, as you say, you've got Marnus and Smith. Great players, don't get me wrong. But say Marnus got dropped a lot and he got to that 108. They wanted him to go on and get a big 100, a big double 100 like Root. And he got himself out being playing silly, a bit silly, really. So they're struggling. They've been struggling because the two main men haven't fired. And then, God, don't even talk to me about that middle order. I mean, Matthew Wade, how on earth a bloke who is averaging around 30, well, not even 30, is it, after 30 tests, is still getting a go at number five in an Australian team is utterly beyond me.
That's probably why Payne's probably going to see out the Ashes, because they've not really got, apart from Wade, I don't really know who else they can bring in. He'll keep Wicket and be an half-decent bash.
Alex Carey had to turn him to big bash this morning, so I think he'll be the one that people will shout for. Yeah, but that's what people will shout for, you can guarantee it.
Wow, but cool player.
They failed at the World Cup. 400, did they, in the whole series?
No, and I noticed someone said that in the one of the innings for, was it the last test, about four or five of the Australian batsmen in the top six all got to 40, but then didn't go on. And they were saying like, that's just not, it's just not good enough in Australia to have batsmen who do that. Like we've been saying just about Broad, you need, saying we need to bat long and you need to bat for time as much as anything. I think that's what Pujara and India showed. They were willing to basically make the four Australian bowlers bowl all week until they were knackered. And
did you see how many times he got it, Pujara?
See what he said, though. I love that. Like, oh yeah, there was a crack on a length, and I thought to myself, he's just going to hit that, so I'm just not going to play, I'm just going to wear it. Just going to let it hit me.
Proper just club cricket mentality.
I'll be honest. I want to fancy it myself.
Can't get me out if it just hits me in the head, mate. That'll do. Thanks very much.
Ribbed in the head about four times, I was like, oh my God.
Take a lid out, lad. Take
a lid. They do have the best bowler in the world at the minute, don't they, Cummins?
Yeah, they do. 21 wickets, he looks really good and threatening all the time. But I think that's the other worry for, if I was an Australian, thankfully I'm not, but if I was and I was looking at it, you've got Nathan Lyon, who's been in decline in reality for the last couple of years. His figures haven't been anywhere near as good.
Always and then you've got against England, though, mate. That's
what he does, that's the issue.
He'll get 50 wickets against us,
And Mitchell Stark, who's
Mitchell Spock. The Spock. He looked a tired and frustrated man that last test and a half.
Tactically, he was a bit worrying. Well, both of them were, to be fair. You've got Lyon bowling way too straight and making it too easy for the batsman.
Is that right? What I read, the Australian spinners averaged over 70 and the Indian spinners averaged about 20, less than
something
20,
around that, yeah.
It was definitely like 15, didn't it? I know he only played two games, but the average 15 or something with the ball.
That's it. I just think they got it tactically wrong. I mean, I watched the third innings that last test, and you've got literally kids in, tail enders, and they're trying to bounce them out.
Kids, what is it? A second team game?
It may as well have been.
That is.
It was proper club cricket style. Right, I'm not going to bowl at the stumps and just wipe his stumps out because this lad's got an average of about 10, and less than 10 in first class cricket. No, no. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to keep trying to bounce him. And also, he was doing was because Ace Stark was knackered and wasn't bowling anywhere near as quick as he normally would. Because he was just stood there and was just like ducking out of the way. He knew what was coming. It just made absolutely no sense to watch.
I've had old wrist bar at the other end. If it's up, it's off. It's gone. Right. I want to bowl at him. I want to bowl at someone's head and I want to bowl full, but I'm just confused as to which one.
I think we'll leave the Aussie bashing for a bit. And obviously,
That's fun. I love doing that.
We might as well do it when someone else is winning over there, because I don't know whether we're going to do it.
We'll discuss that another week, whether we've got anything about us to go and do it. I feel a bit bad on India, because we haven't really spoke about how great they were that much. But to be fair, we play them in just over 2 weeks, so I'm sure we'll do a big preview of that series. So we won't use up all our content now. Otherwise, I won't have anything to talk about, because I don't know them that well. Purely seen a few of them take a couple of wickets in the IPL, if I'm honest. So speaking of England, obviously the first test went well. Comfortable win in the end, although we still tried to make it a bit more interesting, or at least Johnny Bairstow did with his running with Joe Root. But what did you make of that first test? For me, there was three massive plus points in Bairstow, Root and Lawrence. And to be fair, Jack Leach, and even to an extent, Don Bess.
That was enough to keep me awake at 5 o'clock in the morning, that was, I'll be honest.
If that is not inspiration to any overweight left and right arm pie chucker on Saturday and Sunday cricket, that here is a professional athlete, right, who literally his full-time job is to practice and chuck down off spinners. And when he goes to Sri Lanka, he's just going to bowl all day, bowled 30 overs of pies. And ended up with, what did he end up with, 6, 7 wickets in the game?
8 in the end, I believe. It was the worst 5 I've ever seen, but as you said, it even gives me hope that I might pick up a couple of wickets next season.
No, Turner, stop yourself there.
No, you're
getting ahead of yourself now, mate.
I think, mate, you know, like sometimes you say to me that sometimes someone is so bad and someone is so good, that's what kind of defeats them. I think that's what it is.
A bit like me and you on a Saturday.
Yeah, if I'm up here and you're there, that kind of like just messes with my head. But if they're shit and you're shit, they're kind of on your level then. And I think that basically, I think what Don Bess is, he basically just shitted himself to a fifer. He was that shit, they just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I've never seen a bowler not celebrate the fifer before, but I can't blame him for not.
That ball that he bowled halfway down.
Is that the one that hit Bairstow on the boot and then just lobbed back up?
That was the best ball.
That was the best ball. He had the 1, 2, and 3 balls, so someone just ran past a straight one. Thanks very much. Cheers, lads. Let's run past this.
You always say in club cricket, it's the one that doesn't turn that gets them. But
I'd have been more pissed off than Jack Leach. I wheeled away for 20 overs in like a sweat out of Colombo or wherever the hell they were.
Goal.
I've not bowled. I've had a serious illness. I've had this. I've not played a game since I blocked shit out of it in the Ashes. I've chucked down 20 overs of like top quality spin, and that has ended up with 5 at the other end. I'd have been,
Yeah, felt a bit sorry for Leach, but he could turn you around.
He would have pissed himself, wouldn't he, Bess, if he was in the clubhouse after?
Oh, yeah.
He pissed himself.
Yeah, but making sure he bought a jug as well, to be fair.
Yeah, he would.
Damn that. I think they were the positives, or sort of positives, in terms of Bess. But obviously, the negative have got to be the two openers, really.
Openers in inverted commas.
Yeah, openers where the main part of the attackers seem, let's be honest. Zach Crawley, I think you can tell, has played spin before, but I think got himself caught in between two minds of going white ball cricket tactics, let's hit it out the ground. Like, he's probably face spin, let's be honest, over here in the blast, in between trying to just defend for his life. And I think he got himself out getting stuck between the two, to be fair. Whereas Dom simply just didn't look good.
I think he had the right idea first innings. I've read his blog on Sky the other day, and he said that he was just trying to moose it. He was trying to get it over the top, get some fielders out of the way. And he said he hit himself or something on the way through.
Yeah, he hits his pad, and that's
he said he hit himself, so he just scuffs it up. But he said, if I give him the time again, I'd do it again. And you saw what he did against him when he smacked Pakistan around in the summer. That's what he kept doing to Yasir Shah, just what, like, one little step straight over. Sibley's the worry for me, not Crawley. I think Crawley could literally live off that 200 and something for 12 months if he wanted to and not score another run. Sibley's the one. He got runs last winter in South Africa. He got some runs against the West Indies, didn't he? One of the test matches.
Got another ton, hasn't he? He's on 2 tons.
Yeah. But is it just me that seems that, like, everything in between is just underwhelming? Mm. Isn't it? It's proper feast or famine, I think, for him at the minute. He's not a run churner, is he? He's going to be there all day, or he's going to get none so far. Yeah.
And yeah, I think anyone down in Australia, I think we probably will go with him. I think he'll do a half decent job, but he just doesn't look like he's ever played spin before, does he? Yeah. With Crawley in that second innings, I think he was just in between two minds whether we try to get it done today or tonight or come back the day after, and then he was just fished at one and snicked off, didn't he? But I think Sibley just doesn't look like... If in India, if it is going to in that first test, I don't think I'd pick him in the side.
Yeah, Sibley... I think the worrying thing was, as well, as you say, Crawley's first innings one, you could see he hit his own pad, he scuffed it, but it was the right sort of idea, and it was a decent catch. And second innings was just a bit of a prod against a ball that turned a mile. I think you looked at Sibley's and they weren't good dismissals. And I mean, the second one...
It's a very good leave.
Leaving a straight one that's great hitting you off there. It's never going to look
some
good, is it?
Bobby from Slip in his second or 13 game just turns around to you and just goes, "Wild laugh, dickhead."
Good leave, mate.
Good leave.
Yeah. Two types of leave, and that definitely one or a good one.
I just worry for Sibley, because I think Burns probably comes straight back in, especially somewhere like India, because Burns is meant to play spin pretty well, isn't he? So I think in India, Burns comes back in.
Do you want to know his average against spin and first class cricket? Because I saw it earlier. 28.
Maybe he doesn't play spin very well.
So it's a bit iffy, isn't it? Probably, you'd dare say it may be a bit better than I'd imagine Sibley's stats are, having seen him face him. But yeah, 28 doesn't fill you with confidence, does it? When you've got
exactly when you're playing a green team, a 3/4 of the year, and you don't see any spin, you only average 28. It's not great, is it?
But I guess that's the issue in a sense with sort of you look at the county championship, and we love a green seamer where Davin Stevens comes plodding in, ball 73 mile an hour, swings it round corners, and that's what you get. There's only Somerset where we've seen any real spinners produced.
Sam Harmer, I know he's South African, but I'm sure we could turn him into an Englishman somewhere, couldn't we?
I'm sure we could try.
Yeah, he'll have some English grandparents somewhere, won't he?
We've got history of that.
We could try it.
I just think in England you've got to be like a natural spinner, aren't you? Like Graham Swan was a natural. Monty Panesar was a natural. Ashley Giles was kind of like natural.
Ashley Giles was a seamer, wasn't he? I always remember hearing that. He was a seamer till he made it into like Warwickshire, and then they were like, "Nah, you ain't got it, be a seamer, lad." And he became a spinner after, which...
Somewhere like India, they've probably got a choice of about 700,000 people who bowl off spin.
Wow, you have got 1.6 billion people choose from, haven't you?
I worry for Sibley, because I think Lawrence was very, very good last week. Very good. I was really impressed with him. He was even better than I thought he might be. And I think Pope is the future. I think Pope is a really good player. So for me, Pope comes into our best team. I think Lawrence, after last week, certainly knocked on the door. Didn't do himself any harm at all. So I just worry for the likes of Sibley that you've got to get Pope back in your best team. And then do they start all of a sudden thinking about Lawrence in your best team as well?
So you've got to get Stokes in as well, haven't you? Because obviously Stokes in as well.
So you're going to bump at least one or two out. And I think the first one to go will be Lawrence, just based on the fact that he's played against Sri Lanka. And at times I'd have fancied myself against them. But then you've got Burns, Sibley, Crawley. as a top three.
I think, and I've been, to be fair, I've been saying it for a few months now, I think the shootout come the Ashes will be between Sibley and Burns partnering Crawley at the top. I think you'll see Pope and Lawrence by that point are both in, especially because Lawrence scored an absolute ton of runs on the England A Tour or Lions Tour the other winter against actual Aussie proper bowlers. It wanted like under 19s. It got decent bowlers in the actual Aussie A team. So I think it's going to be a shootout between the two. I think
who's going to bat at three then?
You probably might think Lawrence there, but has he ever really
Lawrence, isn't it? Unless Root bites the bullet, but I don't see it. I think it'd be Pope at three. I think you might see Stokes possibly drop to six, or Lawrence will be six.
I wouldn't mind Stokes at six, me.
I wouldn't, seriously.
Good side, that is, if Ben Stokes is coming in at six and Josh Butler's coming in at seven, some team there.
So would you open with Crawley then, or is your track?
That would be my guess, Zach Crawley.
To get, what was it, 260-odd at three, and then now suddenly he's opening, and it's... I know it's not much difference, but...
Mate, Alistair Coote got 150 on debut when he batted at three.
Mm. Yeah. At the end of the day, his day job back at Kent is opening the batting, so... And Kent isn't well-known for being good for batsmen. It's well-known for bowlers and swing bowlers early on, so I can see...
You bat at three as well. You're basically opening half the time, aren't you? So
well, you're all of England, let's be honest.
County, does he just bat number four?
Ooh. Lawrence bats four or five, if you're that long. Mm. That's four or five for Essex normally, so... He could possibly move up, but I think Pope will be the one that they'll think long-term's their number three, because they keep saying, oh, he's a bit like Ian Ball, he's a bit like this. So I wouldn't be shocked.
Just seems that we got, you know, Crawley, finally a number three that seemed like he knew what he was doing, and then now we've got to push him up one, and then we've got to find another number three again. Just to try fits Lawrence and Pope in the same side, aren't you, really?
It's wherever you want. Three openers at the top of your order, isn't it? Some teams go for having three openers at the top of your order. I guess like India, really, with Pujara. And then other teams want to have a specialist number three. And really hope that, I guess, the openers are going to see out enough overs early on anyway that it doesn't matter too much that you've got someone a bit like Williamson or, I guess, even Smith or Morris. Yeah.
You've got an English passport somewhere.
He'll do.
You get in.
Right then, moving on to the second test, because it does start in a few hours' time, literally.
All of the 4 a.m. train.
The 4 a.m. club.
Teams that start time, because I managed to Australia and Sri Lanka and just not slept one night. And I was just, for the whole day, I was just dead.
That's a lie. You didn't manage it. You said you did. There's no way. No, I don't like.
If anyone hasn't guessed that Aid's known as being the more lazy member, shall we say, of this trio. So we're not surprised if he doesn't make it up at 4 a.m. in the morning, put it that way. But England announced the team earlier. Only one change, which was a bit of a shock because everyone thought they'd rotate the whole seam attack. Yeah. But only Jimmy Anderson coming in for Broad. No extra spinner played, which was what quite a few people wanted to happen. They wanted to see Parkinson possibly or Amar Verdi to come in so that they've had a few overs in them and they've had a taste of actual test match cricket before India. But it seems to be that although Moeen isn't fit for this test, he is going to be the third spinner in India. So yeah, they haven't really made any changes other than Jimmy coming in for Broad, which was more or less guaranteed because I think both Jimmy and Broad had basically said, Luke, we're not travelling all the way to Sri Lanka to carry water bottles. We'll play one each. And I think that's fair enough. So do we think that team's good enough to go out and get 2-0?
I just think whoever wins a toss is going to win the game, I think. Whoever wins a top bats first. Unless Sri Lanka get like 130 out again. If they get 300 or so, to bat last, seems we struggled anyway. I think if we have to chase any more than 150 on that on the last day, I think we lose, and I think Sri Lanka lose if they've got chase the same.
I think this team says more about what's coming than about tomorrow, to be honest. I think it says everything about what kind of team we're going to pick in India, because it makes me think that the likes of Wood won't be involved. in India makes me think that, well, makes me think that the likes of Ollie Stone probably won't be involved in India as well. A bit weirded out by that. I'm a bit weirded out by the team, to be honest. A bit gutted that Mo isn't fit. I wanted Mo to come in just to get a game under, because I still think there's a bit there. I know he's not really done anything for 18 months, has he? 2 years, really, in an England shirt, especially a Test match shirt. The last Ashes down under kind of like cabbaged him a little bit. He's not really been the same since. But I'd have liked to have... I still think there's more to come from him. I really do. And everyone wants him to do well, because how could you not like a man with an upside-down head? everyone loves a good upside-down head.
I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people aren't necessarily for Moeen because they look at his stats and say, look, he hasn't been doing it with a bat or the ball. And so people like Parkinson, Verdi, other batsmen, so you could be looking at having Moeen in and meaning you can't play Lawrence or Pope. So is it fair on them? Probably not. But you want him to do well, because having a spinner who can bat and bat seven and get you out of tight situations like he did 3 or 4 years ago is something that every team in the world wants. Let's be honest, India love the fact they've got Jadeja and Ashwin who can do that role. And so that's what England desperately want, especially when you're in the subcontinent. But as you say, the last 2 years he hasn't done anything to warrant a call up at all. But you want him to do well, so I find it a hard one, because he's obviously a really nice bloke and he's got the talent, but something's just not clicking for the lad.
I think probably I was also surprised that Wokes didn't come straight back in. I thought Wokes might get a game ahead of Curran. I don't think they'll play Wokes, Stokes in India. I think it'll probably only be one of them. So that's why I'm surprised that Wokes didn't come in as well. But I just wonder whether they think it's like too tight for him, too tight a turnaround. None of them have had a lot of cricket, so I just wondered what the issue was with just like sticking him in, crack on. Just let him get better as the game. You saw what Jack Leach did. Jack Leach was dirt for, well, not dirt, he was the best that we had, but he wasn't great for a while. And then all of a sudden it just kind of clicked, didn't it? He bowled 40 odd overs, didn't he?
It clicked when I fell asleep.
About then. But yeah, so I know what you mean. Obviously, the reason that sort of a spanner's been thrown in the works, I guess, with a team lineup was because obviously Curran and Wood are playing back to back, which means, and as we found out later on, is that neither of them are now in the India squad for the first two tests. So they announced the squad. Obviously, we've got Archer back, we've got Stokes back, we've got Burns back. We should have Pope back as long as he's past fit. And I heard him in an interview earlier this week say he's fit enough back. The only thing worrying him It's not a physical thing, it's a mental thing, diving around in the field, because he don't obviously want to do his shoulder again. But he says that's basically what he was going to spend the week doing now, lobbing himself around and getting himself confident, throwing himself about, so he should be back. But that meant that we'd obviously, Curran's dropped out and Wood have dropped out. They're not going to play in the first two tests, so that's why they're playing tomorrow. But also Bairstow, which I thought was an interesting one, because he's come in, because apparently he's our specialist subcontinent batsman. He plays a test, does pretty well, gets us over the line. We knew he was going to play tomorrow, but then they turn around and say he isn't going to play the next two tests because he's been rested because of bubble fatigue, which, don't get me wrong, is totally understandable and I totally support him doing that. But you just wonder about the planning behind it, really, I guess, because it seems a little bit strange to see him go out.
I think they're looking at the T20s as well, because the T20 World Cup. Is it 5 T20s we've got after this test series? And obviously, Butler, if we're going to win it, them two are going to be key to, you know, us winning it. So you've got to, in the amount of cricket we've got in the next 12 months, you've got to try and, like you say, fit it around everything else. Obviously, people have been, like, they were in the RPL as well. I think Bairstow said, didn't he, on his interview, that he'd literally been home for about 6 days or something like that. So they're probably going to bring him back for two tests, play the one days and T20s, and then obviously get ready for the English summer, though.
I think we spoke earlier, didn't we? I think it's a side where you can say, oh, we've not given up, but we're making sure we're looking after everyone without quite giving up. We're giving everyone a rest.
Looks like we're giving it a good go.
Yeah, it looks like we're giving it a go, but if we lose, we don't really care. as long as we look after everyone. Kind of like we've got bigger fish to fry elsewhere kind of job. Because I don't think there'll be any punches pulled like when they go to Australia. 5 tests, 1 day is 2020. I think you just send everyone, keep them there, and that'll be that done. I just don't understand. I just wonder, do you not just take them anyway? But hey, that's me. I haven't got to sit in a bubble all the time. So
yeah, I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people have been like, oh, they're only resting them for the test matches because they care more about T20 and the IPL. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a case of you can't make people live for 4 or 5 months in a foreign country in a little hotel room and not let them go home. So I think they've based it on that, and they say that they've spoke to each player and asked them when they'd like to go home, how long they think they can do and stuff. So I guess you've got to trust that the England players are just being honest and saying, look, I can manage 4 or 5 weeks away, but then I want a couple of weeks back home, and then I'll come back, do another few weeks with you guys, with England, and then I'm moving on to the IPL. And I think people will moan about that, because they'll be like, well, the IPL shouldn't matter as much, but at the end of the day, they're getting millions of pounds for doing it, so you can't blame them on that regard. And I dare say Owen Morgan was probably sat in these management meetings going, it is key that every single one of my 15, 16 T20 squad for next year, if they can get a contract in the IPL, is in the IPL, because we're playing in India, we want to win the World Cup, so they've got to be there. And I think that's as much a thing. And I think people, I've seen a few people calling people like Butler mercenaries. He's only playing the first test because he'd rather miss 3 tests for England than miss the IPL. But I don't think that's necessarily just his choice. I think that's as much the choice of the England selectors. And I don't think they're wrong, because let's be honest, the best I can see is getting away with an India's 3-1 loss.
Yeah, so, I'd say 3-1, I think.
So is it really worth causing burnout to your best white ball player, or even having to miss the 5 T20s against India in India?
So is it
all last big crap?
What's the crap?
I believe he's going to go after the first test, he's going to come back, and he will play some white ball before then, obviously playing in the IPL in India more or less straight after that.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it? Because if you look at the test side, Folkes is arguably a better wicketkeeper than Butler and has done well in Asia. And then if you think about the T20 side, if you take Butler out, that's massive, really. Whereas in Test, I don't think you're really losing that much, are you? If you brought Folkes in to open the batting in the T20s ready for the World Cup, I don't think we're half as good a side. And probably same with Best, though, isn't it? I know we've got a lot of good white ball players. Probably Butler's probably your main one, isn't he? Especially keeping as well. So I think maybe that's probably part of the thinking.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, Turner. They just want to keep everyone fresh. It's kind of like a surrender before it's even happened, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, again, as well, the other thing that you look at India, they ended up with what some people call in India A playing for them, and they beat the Aussies because they've got good strength and depth. I dare say England have. I heard someone earlier saying that they were worried in the summer we'd be playing almost a second 11 in some tests. We'd be resting people, and people like Curran and Wood would be playing tests in the summer. But for me, they're part of your 15-16 man test squad. I am not upset if I pay 50 quid go a test match and I see Sam Curran and Mark Wood, because they're still world class players. So I don't think it's as big a problem as it maybe would have been in other eras, where we've had some debatable players getting given a cap because we've had a couple of injuries or whatever. I think we've got good players. I don't think you're going to need to see someone like a Davin Stevens, I guess, rocking up to make his test debut in his 40s, 30s, 40s and bowling dibbly dobblies. I don't think we've got to worry about that. You've still got world-class players who won World Cups and played in IPLs and stuff.
Dreams of the first and second team cricketer. 40-year-old yeah. Davin Stevens trundling in.
Exactly.
I've still got it.
Just a quick one on Butler. A few people not sure about what the point is in him going to play one test. Why not just let Folkes play all four? What do you think? I don't mind him, to be honest.
At first, and then they've took it back down to one test, haven't they?
I wonder if that might have something to do with quarantine times. I wonder if it was a bit about they realised if he leaves after the second test and then comes back here and then has to go back over there, he might only get a very short time at home. Whereas the thinking, if he has, especially with him, obviously he's going to play the IPL and I'm sure he'll play the T20s for us out there. I'm wondering if that's maybe as much a thing for him, to be honest. That would be my guess as to why it suddenly changed. Unless something's happening at home that means he wants to be back for a certain date, but I can't see it. I just think it's probably as much to do with the lovely quarantine rules as it does anything else.
I wondered if it might have been something along the lines of they just wanted to get him some like better competition. They wanted to make sure like they were playing against someone really top. They wanted to play like a proper attack in proper conditions. Of course, we're going to have to go and play in Australia in the winter, aren't we? So I wonder maybe if they just thought, oh, we want to go and play India in India because that's as close as and hostile as it's kind of going to get.
Yeah.
Not close to conditions, but it seems like the test. It's a test, isn't it?
Yeah, facing Bumrah, Ishant Sharma, probably Siraj, isn't it? That's what you want. And well, I'd say three each then, isn't it, as well for him and Folks, which I think works.
I do feel sorry for Folks, though, because, you know, he's literally going to have no warm-up, is he, before facing India, who probably the best bowling side in the world at the minute. And, like, he could have had one test each in Sri Lanka, get him, you know, up to match fitness, because he might have netball, bowling the nets you can face, isn't there? But he probably hasn't played cricket since the summer. Because he hasn't been in the IPL or anything like that, so just jumping in and facing that bowling attack, it's going to be pretty hard for him.
Buzzy.
I think that's the issue with bubble life, though, isn't it? I don't think they want to take people and say, by the looks of it anyway, and say, right, you have one game on, one game off, because it feels like they're almost extending the time they've got to spend in the bubble to get their number of games in. So I think that's why they're doing it. I can't say I necessarily agree, because I'm with you. I'd have liked to have given Ollie Stone a game. I'd have liked to have seen us maybe give Wokes a game. I'd have liked to have seen Folks get a go, just because it's a cauldron of fire, isn't it, being dropped in against India. In India, it's not going to be easy anyway, but you'd like to give them that prep. But it's one of them things, I guess. Bubble life, COVID life, it's affecting everything. So I think it's just something we've sort of got to suck up to and deal with it and hope that come the summer, there's no bubbles about anymore and we don't have to worry about it much longer. Right, we'll leave the international chat there because I'm sure everyone's fed up or even all about it. And we're going to move on to something that we're going to try and do every week and make ourselves a little bit different to sort of the other podcasts out there. We want to talk a little bit more about club cricket. Obviously, most people who are going to listen to this, we'd imagine, are going to be people involved in club cricket, whether they play it or whether they're just involved with coaching or even just tea lady.
Go on the stiffs.
Go on the stiffs. That the man from behind the bar that you drag out when on a Sunday when you've only got 10 players because the first team has said he was going to play, but actually he's pulled his cough. But in reality, he just had too many ales last night.
That we've all been there.
Yeah, we know, dude, that's your sort of thing. So, first of all, are you now at the point where you're missing last season at all yet?
I probably am, to be fair. More just
are you missing cricket or are you actually missing last year? I'm missing cricket, but I'm not missing cricket in a restriction. I'll tell you that for free.
I did enjoy the half a season, to be fair.
Yeah, I could get used to that. Last game.
Didn't drag on as long. But no, it was actually, for, you know,
the cricket
less losing.
Yes.
Less cricket, less losing.
Less cricket, this is really promoting less losing. Really promote the game to local people. If you play less games, you can lose less. Perfect. Done.
Yes.
I've got to say, missing it, but I agree. I'll be honest, I didn't miss loads of the things that we were restricted to. So I'll be honest, I thought I was going to miss tees, but I really wanted that bothered. But maybe that's just because our tees weren't the best because we used to bring our own sort it out ourselves sort of thing. We didn't have a tea lady, so maybe that's why. But it was more like the changing rooms and stuff I miss. Basically being a bit of a tool before the game and like banging out some stupid music or like just being a tool, really. It wasn't quite the same. Plus, there was nothing worse than having your kit bag out on the veranda and then suddenly a sunny day turns to you absolutely lashing down and you're having to run and get your kit bag inside.
The worst I had, I don't know about that, was fucking stepping on stones on a car park. It was drizzling, so I didn't get out of the car. I'm getting changed in the car when I stood out with no shoes on, just stones all over the car park. Oh, it wrecked. I can picture it now. It was awful.
Yeah, big shout out actually to Sandbach Cricket Club, who were lovely and said, "Yeah, you've got a gazebo. It's got no sides on it. It was probably big enough for about four or five people stand under, and it rained sideways several times, and my everyone's stuff was drenched. We were drenched. Lovely idea, but yeah, it wasn't great. But I'm hoping we'd change rooms when we're back.
We thought that about doing that once, and then
we decided
we'd have to put it up and then put that down again. It's like,
better though when you're getting changed and you've got crazy Gene who's 90-odd is staring at you whilst you're getting changed.
The old duck's refusing to move. Can I just get changed here? Yeah, sure. Are you saying, yeah, I am? Sound.
Wow. Never thought we'd turn into talking about slightly perverted old women on this podcast, but there you go.
I tell you what I miss, just normality in the bar after having to go and get your drink and either go back outside and drink it outside, which, don't get me wrong, I'm not kind of like saying I'm not fond of just going outside and having a drink, but just not having to be told where I can go and sit down, it would be nice.
Yeah, end of season having to bring basically your own crates of beer because we couldn't be bothered to keep asking for table service and having to set up tables on an outfield and... Yeah, it just wasn't quite the same, gotta say, but
I worry this will kill off a couple of cricket clubs. Mind you, saying that, the only thing that I've kind of got a saving grace is it's kind of like two things here, isn't there? You've got the local cricket clubs that run as like a bar through the week. They're the ones I worry about. Like at Bignall End, it's open every day of the week. It's a bar come cricket club, that's what it is. The bar is keeps us going. Other clubs that don't open in the week, they're not actually really missing out on anything, are they? So I worry for those clubs that rely on their bar money and the bar to keep going. And you can probably think of them off the top of your head locally. They're the ones that I worry about. And the other thing that I worry about locally is, especially this year, because I don't think we're going to get to practice before the season kicks in, if the season kicks in when it's meant to. Is I worry about those people who are on the fringes who are a bit unsure about playing. It might be a younger lad like us, and they'll just go, nah, don't really fancy this. I'll just finish my football or whatever, and then, or something like that, I'll go back to football, start football on time. Or it'll be your older one and think, nah, I can't be arsed doing this. They're the ones I worry about.
Yeah.
They're the ones I worry about.
There's got to be concerns because the amount of people who chose to not play for different teams last year. Yeah, some people were worried, some people were worried about COVID, but the people who actually just went, well, actually, because I haven't played it the first half of the summer, I've got quite used to going out with my family on a Saturday, or actually, I quite fancy a game of golf instead. I think that's got to be the worry. I think most people will come back, but as you say, there's always going to be clubs that are going to be, let's be honest, some clubs are close to the line anyway. And something like this is just never going to help. And as you say, bar taking is obviously going to be massively down for clubs. Can clubs afford to keep paying people, to keep paying for pros and stuff? It's not great, but hopefully, touch wood, I know the league where we are, North Staffs, are meant to be getting fixtures out in the next couple of days, and the cup draws were tonight. So,
it's got Barleston again, Jono.
Barleston away on consecutive weeks.
Barleston, yeah, you weren't happy about that, were you, last time?
Oh, no, I quite like going to Barleston. My issue is going back to Barleston
three
times in three games. Just gets a bit much.
Do you want to... Are you in, boys, in the T20, or are you not in it?
We're in the T20 plate, I think. Plate.
Oh, you're in the same one as us, aren't you, Shop?
We're just not very good at 2020.
We're not big timers, are we, us three on
it? What time is the draw?
It's happened. The T20 one has... Don't know if there's anything exciting that we can tell our Staffordshire listeners. Our T21's on Tuesday, dude. Don't worry. There's a few interesting groups in there. There might be a couple of days of cricket worth going watch, but nothing spectacular.
I know that much.
Yeah, that's on tonight as well.
How long can it take to a draw? Yeah, we can have like 60 FA Cup fixtures done in about 10 minutes. So
yeah, but they haven't got Peter Crouch doing it, have they? That's the issue.
Massive arms.
Just quick one. Is anyone missing winter nets? Because I must admit, winter nets are normally a bit hit and miss for our club. Sometimes you get great numbers and it's great. Other weeks you turn up and there's six of you and you find yourself, someone like me who's just a pie chucker who never bowls, is suddenly having to bowl to your first team opening bat for half an hour because there's no one else there to bowl. So, but I must admit, I've missed it because you have a good laugh. But I haven't missed that first week when on the Monday morning you wake up and your arms about drop off. Oh, that is one thing I have not missed.
What I don't miss as well is hours are always half 10 on a Sunday morning. Like, who has
shocking half 10
great, it's a great time.
Not when you've been on the lash on Saturdays and you've got
to... Well, no, but you're not going to do that right now, are you?
Well, yeah, true.
No one wants to do that. It's better than 6 o'clock right in the middle of the football on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you've got a point.
Yeah, to be fair, we do that. The amount of lads I've known who don't turn up to train until half an hour late because they're just watching United in the car.
Yeah, sorry, no one wants it. You can have cricket, you have football, then you can have football, you can have dinner.
You can have dinner.
Yeah, it's the perfect day.
Yeah, I do miss, obviously, you know, just obviously getting back into the swing of things. And, you know, because it does take you a couple of sessions before the pain starts easing off and you get your eye in and, you know, you're getting back into it again. But
do you actually get your eye in? I don't believe.
just get a bit on board, don't you? Yeah. Hit this, hope for best.
Exactly. So, do we think we're going to get a full season or close to a full season, or we've been feeling pessimistic? I'm going to start us off and say optimistic. I think we'll start latest mid-May, and we might have to play a couple of Sundays or bank holidays, but I think they'll try and push through and get a full season in, would be my guess.
Do you think we could play and, like, not have the club open at all? So, basically, just play the game and then
Some were doing that last year, weren't they?
I think we could easily be in tier 3, and they say you can play cricket but you can't go in changing rooms, you can't go in the club. It happened at times last year. We had a COVID scare, we were told we weren't allowed open, even though it got proven that no one had actually had COVID at the club, but we still had to close for the weekend, they said. So we our first played without any facilities. They had to umpire themselves because the umpires didn't want to come because they hadn't got a toilet. They umpired themselves. They weren't even allowed in the club to get the stumps and stuff out, so they had to buy balls and stumps just for one game. But they did it. So I think there'll be cricket, and I think we'll get more than last year. But I think some people who are hopeful it'll just be a normal season are going to be sadly disappointed, because I think you might still play the whole season with the same sort of restrictions as last year, where there's no tees and stuff. I'm just hoping we haven't got to keep washing our hands after every 5-6 overs, because that starts to do my tree.
And then if you try and bowl the ball after and your hands are covered in the sanitiser.
Saw some great beamers immediately after a sanitation break. Yeah, like young lads coming into the first team. Yeah, mate, you're bowling straight out of the sanitation break. There you go. Mm. Oh, great. Yeah, we just beamed their best player.
The ball nice I've one. Just used a Dettol wipe on.
It is the best time to beam someone because you have got an excuse.
Yeah, if you want to like chuck a beamer in.
If Tim Payne's on the other end and you want to chuck a beamer in.
Do you remember that day that we had to have the argument with the umpire about Sammy, the spinner, bowling a waist-high full toss?
Oh, God, yeah.
He bowled a waist-high full toss immediately after sanitation break. And he tried to warn him. It's like, well, for start, well, let's just throw it out there. It was never a no-ball because the lad was sweeping it. He was on one knee on the sweep. And he was down there before he'd even bowled the ball, to be fair to him. And it was a little bit high. It had probably been a full toss, fair dues. But then they tried to warn him. And I'm standing there going, all right, lads, come on now. We just had a sanitation break. And for secondly, he's bowling leg spin. Like, what's dangerous about that? Like, no, don't matter, mate. Every waist-high no-ball is a warning. Is it? They went off. They went off to check the book. They went off to check the book. Come on, I'm a bomb lad. I went, am I right or what? And he went, yeah.
Always right, aren't you, mate?
15-year-old lad.
Teacher's always right.
Teachers are always right, mate. Teachers are always right.
Well, it did make sometimes the games feel like they were going on for hours and hours and hours. And you're looking, it was actually only like 6 o'clock, but because you're going off after every 5 or 6 overs. And It just felt like you were there all day. Well, you were there all day anyway, but...
And I must admit, I've never laughed so much, but last season, obviously, yeah, go off, didn't you? But what they decided to do in a couple of games is, oh, we'll put the sanitizer behind the stumps. It'll be sound. We'll put them behind stumps, only little bottles. And you, obviously, dude, you know Dutch. I'm stood at slip, and I've watched as the ball's gone past. I think it must have been a spinner bowling. Gone past the batsman. He's out the crease. The ball is, like, sort of hit Dutch on his pads. It's going towards the stump. Hit the sanitizer bottle, didn't knock the bales off. He was miles out.
Also, wasn't that the rule where it's 5 penalty runs or something? If he takes
well,
that?
They then announced that the week after, and we got told we weren't allowed to do it anymore, so we wondered if one arm umpire may have reported it.
It's so much easier doing that. It's just one
still
of the
do
things.
It. You just got to take the risk that it's going to be 5. My only issue with that is I kept leaving club sanitizer at every ground we ever travelled to. Leaving it behind the slopes.
It was a good job that West gave us 30 bottles because we must have lost 29 of them within about 4 weeks.
Well, I think we had a bit of a panic buy. I think we bought shitloads and then all of a sudden all this stuff just arrived in a massive box. That was one of the things that really killed it for me. And I understand why they had to try and do it because they had to be seen to take some steps. But, oh my God, every 6 overs it just killed it, didn't it? And you were just I just want to get off now. Especially if the game was going anywhere. So if you'd had a good first innings and they were going to get nowhere near, and you think to yourself, why am I going up? Like, we had a couple of times, didn't we, where... Mm-hmm. They were like 8 down, 9 down, and you've got some kids or just some absolute dobber, and they're like, let's just stay, it's going to take an over. Just give us the over, please. No, we're going off. Oh, my God.
One of the other ones was, it had to go from the keeper straight to the bowler, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like,
you forget about that, and then you're like, it's just normal, isn't it, to pass it round.
Someone got off with us about that, didn't they? Towards the end of the season, if I remember.
Yeah.
Just berserk. The problem is, once you introduce rules, you get 7 million different interpretations of them, and when it's not done properly or it's not done with any common sense, it's a mess.
More arguments, as if club cricket needs any more arguments. I must admit, though, my favourite little bylaw of them rules was the one that claimed that every time after you got out, you needed to go and wipe your bat down with a wipe in case COVID had been spread from the bowler to the ball, to the bat, and then you were going to like go around licking your bat.
Well,
lovely.
To be honest, mate, it was an absolute disaster in our team because I've opened the batting now for 5-6 years. I haven't had a bat that's my own for about 4 of them.
Oh, well, mate.
He doesn't own one either.
Woodstock, please supply us with bats.
Yeah, so I'll take a bat. I don't own, I'm free. I'm there every week. I might not get many and they might not be pretty, but I'm there every week.
Somewhat village cricket when one of our lads is walking out and I'm swapping bats with him.
Oh, wow.
We had about 4 bats through the team.
Yeah. You lads Div 2 and I'm in Div 7 and even I haven't seen that one in Div 7.
We're just cheap, mate. It's not because we're not very good. We're all right. We're just cheap.
It's the only time I've ever got runs as well, so when I was getting runs...
That's it. We are very superstitious about them. Yeah. Very superstitious.
Fair enough. And spending your money behind the bar instead of on bats is fair enough.
We're actually doing the club a favour.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. We're just unselfish people, really.
Lovely. Right then, our big feature each week, or of sort of fun main feature each week, is going to be Club Cricket's Room 101. So if anyone hasn't seen Room 101, I'm reliably informed by Jono, it's all about where...
TV.
Yeah, and you get to basically, or someone gets to say, something they'd like to get rid of and shut away in Room 101. So we're going to do that with Club Cricket forever. Now, today, we're going to let Aid go and explain what he'd get rid of, but in future weeks, we're hopefully going to have guests on, so Jono from Woodstock's hopefully going to come on, Andy Mountford from Betley CC wants to come on, I think Pete from JS Sports and Meekins wants to come on, and we've also hopefully got a couple of people involved with pro cricket who are actually going to come on, maybe even a couple of pro players, and we're going to ask them to come up with things. And also, if you guys listening, if you've got anything you'd like to submit to the Room 101, we're more than happy to discuss it and decide whether we're going to bin it or keep it. So, Aid, explain to us what it is that you want to get rid of, and I'm sure this is going to upset a few people.
Get rid of the draw, mate.
Explain.
Who wants to play Saturday for about 8 hours of cricket to come off and someone go, oh, have you gone on, mate? Oh, we've drew. And it's like, mate, you don't want to be drawing games of cricket. But last year, obviously, there's a couple of games we had where you're probably chasing 200 odd. And if the first 10 overs, it's not gone the team chasing's way, they'll just bat 40 or 50 overs, just blocking the shit out of it, basically, weren't they? And you're just standing there like, oh, come on, get it over and done with. I want to get in the bar. But we had a couple of close games last year that, you know, everyone, people watching, I think it was at Porto, that everyone was getting involved in it because it was getting close. And, you know, it seemed more enjoyable for players and more enjoyable for people watching. So that's one thing I think I'd probably get rid of.
Thoughts, Jono? I've sort of backing, I can see both sides. I've been there and been that annoying person who's blocked out for the last 20 overs and got the team a draw when the other team's at 200 odd and we're like 70 for 8. I've been that person and bored the shit out of people. But I also can see the total argument to getting rid of it, because what kid wants to say, yeah, we drew today, we hit 250 and we got them 9 down and they only hit 60. It doesn't seem fair. And to a kid, is it really going to say to them, yeah, I want to be spending my Saturdays where, let's be honest, most young lads will be thinking, actually, I could be out having a bevy and chasing women.
One of the best people I had to.
Are they going to want to do it?
As well as at Wedgwood, I think. We got about 180-odd, which wasn't, you know, it's a reasonable score, but it wasn't brilliant. And we played Fenton, and we got them 74 for 9 off 62 overs, I think it was. And you imagine being in the field for that?
Oh, yeah. It's horrible, isn't it? And I've seen both sides in the last couple of years. I remember we played a game the year before last. We were top of the league. We're playing third in the league. We've hit nearly 200, and they're something like 60, 70 for 9. And we've got 4 overs left, and they just didn't play. They barely played a shot, which was probably as much down to a couple of our bowlers forgetting that you meant to bowl at the 3 wooden things. But also was just a case of they were fair play to the young lad. I used to teach him, and he literally wore a couple like pajama. He was not bothered, and he's a great lad, but can't deny it was as boring as anything, especially as we knew if we got that wicket, it had basically secured us promotion that week and saved us having to worry about it the week after. But yeah, it's frustrating, but then you can also understand why the person who's batted the draw, why they're so happy about it, because it takes concentration, it takes a bit of courage, it takes having that mindset that you need in, I guess, Red Bull cricket, and people keep going on about. So I'm 50-50, so Jono, what are we thinking?
It's a no from me, I'm afraid. It's a pass on the draw. I think there's a skill in a draw. If a team smacked 300
it's
against
because you just like blocking the shit out of it.
Well, yeah, but it's the room. I think a team smashed 300 against you, and you, realistically, you're a few short. I think there's a skill there in going for a result that garners you more points. If Stoke go and play Man United, if they don't win, what do you want them to do? You want them to draw. So I think the draw has a place.
Yeah, you can see both sides of it, to be fair.
Look at the test. India. What did they do? They batted an entire day, and everyone was like right behind them.
True.
That's what they want.
Right.
To be fair, I think the league have done it, or they're on about doing it, aren't they? Where they're doing half a season, win or lose, and then half a season win, draw and lose, I think. Which I think I prefer that. If you're going to do half and half, then I think that would be a decent option.
There's a bit more in it this year, I think, for everyone if we get going on time, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's probably, to me, the ideal thing. You do half and half. I know a lot of leagues have done it for quite a while. I know it's new to North Staffs League. Although it's only you boys that get that. Us lowly second team, as we've just got win, lose all season. But to be honest, that suits me, because it just does. I don't mind that, to be fair, because I'll be honest, we play a lot of teams that have got quite a lot of Colts in, quite a lot of younger lads in. And I can imagine they don't want to see me coming in at 4, 5, 6 and blocking everything.
So when you bat that eye, mate?
Hey, I opened at times and batted in top 3, but I think I've managed to secure myself a demotion down to about 5 or 6, thankfully. I play the situation well, is what Skipper says. I don't think he's only seen me play the situation once, and I got away with it and we won, so I think he still believes it. He'll be shocked first or second game of the season, like. But I think what we'll do is I think we'll put you to a vote then on Twitter. We'll let people who've listened go on Twitter have a vote, decide whether they want to get rid of draws or whether they want to keep it. And if anyone's got one for next week that they'd like to do, then please let us know. If not, we'll either come up with one or we might possibly have a guest on next week. I'll see. If so, we can ask them. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, boys, before we wrap it up?
I just want to question whether Lyle's going to be up for half past four. That's my only question.
Really. I'm going to say I probably won't be, I don't think. I'm going to try to go bed a bit earlier and then get up about 8-ish, maybe. But I probably will just sleep.
Go bed early, get up at 8-ish.
Mate, I'm on the furlough line. Waking up for the afternoon session. Like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Poor. Absolute disgrace.
Shocking. Us poor people who have to go to work. Oh, good.
I know.
Right then. So, hopefully everyone listening is going to enjoy this first episode. If you don't, please let us know. We won't be too offended. If you offend Aid, fair enough, he is ginger.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
So, next week what we'll do is we'll have a little review of the England-Sri Lanka series, and we'll also have a bit more club cricket chat. We'll talk about a few more things looking at the season ahead, as well as just general things with club cricket. And if you guys out there have got anything else you'd like us to chat about, then please let us know. In the meantime, if you could follow us on Twitter, at ThirdManCricUK, or on Instagram, ThirdManCricketUK, that'd be brilliant. We are also on Facebook as well, but the main thing that we're updating is Twitter, because cricket Twitter is mad, mainly thanks to the 1.6 billion Indians out there. So please give us a follow, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers. Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.